A metaphor is often used to make complex ideas easier to understand. And metaphors are abundant in Scripture. For example, the church is referred to as God's vine, God's vineyard, and Christ being the vine and those the Father has called as the branches. These two metaphors show in order for a vineyard to produce, it must be taken care of. Pruned, watered, etc. God is taking care of His vineyard, so it will produce the good fruit. And with Christ being the vine and us the branches, this shows that we cannot bear fruit apart from Christ. If there is no vine, there are no branches. Other metaphors in the Bible include Christ being the bread of life, God's people being the salt of the earth, the devil being a roaring lion, God's people being the clay, and He the potter. Again, metaphors often make it easier for us to grasp the concept being discussed. So what is the first metaphor used in the Bible? Where would one find it? Let's begin in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. The book of Genesis is the book of beginnings, and it is there the first metaphor is used. Verse 1 of Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. The connection, the contrast between light and darkness is the first metaphor in the Bible, mentioned in the very beginning of the Bible. Now, I did not count the times, but I would be willing to say that this metaphor of light and darkness is the most used metaphor in the Bible. Now, one may say, now, this is not a metaphor here. This is real. There was darkness, and God brought light. Even the following verses show that. The light was called day, and the darkness called night. Yes, it is real, but it is also used metaphorically. Hold your place here in Genesis, but let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So here we read about the real event that happened in Genesis, but we also see how it is also symbolic of something more. The Apostle Paul compares light to understanding the knowledge of God. So what does the darkness refer to then? Let's go back to verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Verse 4, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Someone who is blind cannot see light. They are in darkness. Most people in the world today have been spiritually blinded by Satan. They are in spiritual darkness. But God has opened our eyes so we can see the light and understand the truth. So let's go back to Genesis 1 now. In verse 2, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now, without form and void come from two Hebrew words, tohu and bohu. Tohu and bohu. They literally mean desolate and ruined. And the word translated was is better translated became. Because since we know from Isaiah 45:18, God did not create the earth in this condition. So the earth became desolate and ruined, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But how did this happen? If God did not create it this way, how did it happen? Well, when we connect the dots from Scripture, it stands to reason that this was the result of Lucifer's rebellion against God. He destroyed much of the beauty of the earth, and likely even some things in outer space. The earth was now covered in water. The sun could not shine through the cloud cover. It was literal darkness as well as a spiritual darkness. In verse 4, God says the light was good, which would indicate the darkness then was bad. So when God said, let there be light, it was not just a physical light that shined through, but also a spiritual light that shined through because of the presence of God's Spirit. So metaphorically, we see that light represents something that is good. And so as Paul brought out, light also means the knowledge of the truth of God. That is light. What else does light represent? Let's go to 1 John. 1 John 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. What else does light represent? This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. It's not just the knowledge of the truth of God, but all the attributes of God we read about in the Bible that are light. These qualities of God and his love are to be taken as things of value and things to aspire to. To have the character of God, which is shown through his commandments, is something good and something we are to strive for. Even the scriptures that God has preserved for us are also to be viewed as light. Now, Psalm 119 tells us that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. And Solomon said in Proverbs 6 that God's command is a lamp and his law a light. And of course, Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. Let's go back a few pages to James 1:17. Looking at light here, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Everything about God is good. Nothing about God is to be taken as bad, as a bad thing, because there is no darkness in him at all. The darkness that resulted in Genesis was not of God. It was of Satan. And what does darkness represent then? Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 5. This is a long introduction. This is going to lead us somewhere. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. What does darkness represent? Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We read here that darkness represents evil, the opposite of good. And where did evil come from? Now, there are those who say that since there is good, there automatically has to be an evil. Just as if there's up, there has to be down. But this is not what the Bible says. It's not what the Bible teaches. Scripture tells us that evil originated from Lucifer. There was a time that evil did not exist. And incredibly, Lucifer, who became Satan the devil, after he became evil, was once an angel of light. In the model prayer, Christ tells us to pray that the Father will deliver us from who? From the evil one. The evil one. We read earlier that Satan, being the god of this age, has blinded mankind. But he also broadcasts his evil thoughts. In the darkness we see all around us is a large part of the result of his evil nature and his influence. The way of God is good and represented by light. The way of Satan is evil and is represented by darkness. Christ said in John 3:19 that even when he came into the world as a light, men still loved darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. But Christ said in chapter 8 that those who follow him will not walk in darkness. In other words, they will not be evil. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6 now. 2 Corinthians 6:14. The Apostle Paul mentions no words about how God's people should view evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Paul is telling us here that God's people are to be totally different than those living under Satan's influence. We are to live our lives around God's influence, and the two ways, they cannot coexist. It has to be one or the other. And this is why, as mentioned in Mr. Bennett's sermon, we are to come out of the world. We can't coexist with darkness, with evil. Let's go over a few pages to Ephesians 5, verse 8. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. And that is the title of this message, Walking as Children of Light. Remember what the Apostle John said earlier, that God is light and there is no darkness in him. Our journey as children of light is to remove the darkness that is in us and replace it with the light of God. But we cannot do it on our own. It takes God and the power of His Spirit working in us to accomplish this. See, both light and darkness have power. There is a power of good and a power of evil, the power of light and the power of darkness. So which one is greater, light or darkness? Many in the world today believe that there's a battle going on between God and Satan. And if that's the case, what we see around us, Satan is winning. But is he? Is he really? In John 1, we read about the light coming into the world and how the world did not comprehend it. That's the word used. But the word comprehend means to prevail or to overtake. The darkness of the world will not prevail against the light of God when all is said and done and when the dust is settled. For now, God is allowing darkness to exist, just as He allowed darkness to exist in Genesis chapter 1. But God will, in His time, remove that darkness forever. Until then, we must never underestimate the power of darkness. It is very strong, much stronger than we are, and that is why we need God's help. We're in Ephesians. Let's go over to chapter 6, verse 12. Just over a page. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It was the power of darkness that made the earth the mess it was in Genesis chapter 1. It was the power of darkness that influenced Adam and Eve to choose to disobey God. It was the power of darkness that made the world the evil place that it was in the time of Noah. It was the power of darkness that plotted the murder of the Son of God. And it was, and it still is, the power of darkness that continues to murder the millions of people, including innocent children, even today. And Christ tells us this murderous spirit comes from Satan, as he was a murderer from the beginning. And Paul tells us in Colossians 1:13 that it is this power of darkness that God is delivering us from. Let's go over to 2 Timothy 2:26 now. 2 Timothy 2:26. When you look at the world around us, there are a lot of good things. But there is more evil than good, it seems now. And what appears as good can even be evil. Remember this. Satan was once an angel of light. He knows how to make evil look appealing. And we must never believe that we are too smart to fall for his tactics. The younger among us should really think about this, especially when it comes to staying in the church or walking away. So we're told in 2 Peter 2:11 that the angels are more powerful than we are. And Satan used his cunning ability to sway a third of those angels to follow him instead of God. And if you think you can overcome Satan and his demons on your own, they can't do a thing to me, then maybe you should read the account in Acts chapter 19. See, in Acts 19, there was about a dozen people who kind of thought the same thing. They could take on demons. They not only got beaten to a pulp by that demon, but all of them were humiliated because they had all their clothes stripped off as they ran away naked. They got whipped by a demon. He can't do nothing to me. This was one demon. They soon found out they were no match for the power of darkness. We're no match. We need God's Spirit, God's help. When someone chooses to walk away, to willingly walk away from God's umbrella, protecting them from this power of darkness, they need to really think about what they're exposing themselves to. Now, Satan may not physically beat up someone, but he loves to play mind games. He loves that. Something God even says he excels at. He is very cunning. And he will use that power in hopes to lead people away from God, away from God's light into darkness. Now, of course, Satan can't force anyone to follow him. He can't force them. But we can willingly make ourselves susceptible to his influence if we're not careful. Notice verse 26 here, 2 Timothy 2:26. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So many of the murders we see happening every day now, it seems, are done by people who have let the prince of the power of the air willingly influence them and have subsequently been taken captive by Satan to do his will. His will. And Satan's will is to destroy you because he knows that you have the potential to become a child of God, and he can't stand that. So his will is for you to be gone. Let's go to 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 now. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Satan tempts mankind with the intent of separating them from God. But God is offering us more than we can possibly imagine. And as first fruits, he has opened our minds so we can understand this incredible truth. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You and I have obtained the mercy of God, and that mercy includes being called to be children of light, not children of darkness. But how can we know that we are walking as children of light? As Dr. Phil would say, what does being a child look like? What does that look like? So for the rest of this message, let's look at five ways that will describe what children of light look like. The first way is children of light know the truth of God and are led by God's Holy Spirit. Children of light know the truth of God and are led by God's Holy Spirit. Let's go to John 17:17. We just kept the Feast of Pentecost, which represents God giving his Spirit to his chosen people. John 17:17. This is Christ praying to the Father that Passover night. And Christ said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. God's people are sanctified. That is, they're set apart because they understand the truth of God. It is God's Spirit working with us and in us that gives us the ability to understand the truth of God. Children of light will have a love for the truth and cling to it. It is the truth of God that gives us hope and peace in the evil and dark age we live in. So many people in this world live in fear. They live in fear of what tomorrow may bring. Increasing food prices, increasing gas prices, shortages, and the list goes on. But as children of light, we know how the story is going to end. Yes, things are going to get worse, as mentioned in the first sermon. It's going to get worse, much worse. But in the end, light will prevail over darkness, and a glorious future awaits all of mankind. It is God's Spirit in us that enables us to understand this precious truth, and it is the power of God's Spirit working in us that will help us overcome the difficulties we have to face in this world of darkness. Now, the Israelites, they had God's presence with them. During the plague of darkness, the Israelites had light. Just the Egyptians had darkness. And from the day they left Egypt until they entered the Promised Land, they had the pillar of cloud and fire with them. For 40 years, this was a physical sign that God was with them, that God was leading them, even when they faced difficulties along the way. Today, we don't have a physical sign of God's presence in our lives. Rather, we have God's Spirit dwelling in us, and that Spirit is leading us to our Promised Land, even during difficult times that we go through. A second way we know we're children of light. Children of light will reflect God's way of life and show obedience to His laws. Children of light will reflect God's way of life and show obedience to His laws. Now, we read in Genesis that God made two great lights, one to rule the day and one to rule the night. Of course, this is referring to the sun and the moon. Now, the sun generates its own light. But what about the moon? The moon does not generate its own light, but is reflecting the light of the sun. Let's go to Malachi 4:2. Malachi 4, chapter 2. Context here in Malachi is the ultimate end of the wicked and the prosperity of those who follow God. But let's notice something in verse 2 of Malachi 4. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. Notice the Son, S-U-N, of Righteousness. Just as the moon reflects the sun's light, God's people, the children of light, will reflect God's way of life, His character, and obedience to His laws. Children of light will reflect. We read in James about the Father of lights. One way to take that is that those who reflect the Father's way, God's way of life, are lights. And being God's children makes us children of light, doesn't it? And as His children of light, we will stand out from the world because we keep His commandments. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Isaiah 8:20. The context here is about knowing if a spirit or teaching is from God or not. What would be a key indicator to look for? Isaiah 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. A key indicator of a child of light is obedience to God's law. When you and I refuse to work on the Sabbath, we are reflecting God's light in us. When we treat others the way we want to be treated, when we show our respect and reverence to God, we are showing that we are children of light, not children of darkness. A third way, children of light will know where they are going and will not stumble in the darkness because they can clearly see. Children of light will know where they are going and will not stumble in the darkness because they can clearly see. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Proverbs 4, 18 and 19. We talked about the moon reflecting sun's light and God's people reflecting God's light. But notice verse 18, Proverbs 4. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Again, the truth of God gives us great understanding and purpose in life. We're not aimlessly drifting along. We know where we're going. And the light of God also helps us see evil for what it is. Those living in darkness cannot see evil for what it is. And that's why they stumble. They are misled by Satan's influence and oftentimes unknowingly make wrong choices that lead to bad consequences. And so many of them don't understand why they stumble through life. They can't figure it out. And why is that? because they don't understand the truth of God. They're in darkness. Let's go over to Luke 11 now. Luke 11, verses 34 through 36. Christ giving another metaphor. Luke 11, verses 34 through 36. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not in darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shine of a lamp gives you light. When someone's eye is healthy, they can see clearly. Then there are those who lose their vision completely and cannot see at all. They are literally in physical darkness. But there are those who are not completely blind, but yet have problems seeing clearly. For example, there are those in this room or watching online who have had cataracts. Those cataracts often cloud one's vision. And most who have had cataracts removed, they comment on how much brighter the colors are. They weren't aware of how much their vision had deteriorated. Many of us, myself included, are nearsighted. Things are not right in front of us, they're blurry. We can't see clearly until we put on our contacts or put on our glasses. And the connection here is that as we grow spiritually, we begin to see more clearly. We leave the darkness. Things become more clear. We get into the light. When we're first exposed to the truth of God, it's like someone turned on the light and we can see more around us. But we still have some darkness in our lives that we have to eliminate. And as we grow, that darkness begins to give way to seeing more clearly. The spiritual cataracts are being removed. Looking through the lens of God's truth makes things become clear instead of blurry. But there's also a flip side to this metaphor, this parable as well. As children of light, we must be careful not to allow even small amounts of darkness, ungodly behavior, to enter our minds, which is often through what we see with our eyes. This swimsuit calendar, that's not pornography. They just got pretty faces. These horror movies I'm watching, I know they're not real. It can't hurt me. I know the difference between what's real and what's not real. It's not going to bother me at all. But when we allow evil to enter our minds, ever how small, it can and will affect our spiritual vision. It will give Satan an inroad to lead us into more evil, a gateway, so to speak, into more evil. And children of light will make sure their vision remains clear. Number four, children of light will recognize, overcome, and have no part of darkness. Very similar to number three, children of light will recognize, overcome, and have no part of darkness. Again, we must never forget that darkness has power. Let's go to John 12. This is Christ's warning about the power of darkness. John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light." Even though we are in the light now, we can lose that light if we're not careful. How can we lose that light? Well, by failing to recognize evil for what it is and allowing it in our lives, being around it. It may start small, like a seemingly innocent video game. That little game is filled with violent themes. Those games tend to desensitize us. And Christ warns that darkness can grow and ultimately overtake us. As sons of light, as Christ said here, let's not take for granted that light that we have and hold it near and dear to us. Let's go back to Ephesians 5 again. We were there earlier, but we're going to read another couple of verses. Ephesians 5. verse 11, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, or reprove them, as my margin says. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed, reproved, are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Now the word manifest means to make clear. Children of light will strive not to even come close to evil and darkness. Now, you have some of our older teens and young adults. We get very curious about things at times. But that curiosity, if we're not careful, if we don't keep it in check, will bring us around evil and darkness. Even those we choose to hang around with can have bad effects on us if we're not careful. If you are around someone who cusses a lot or says, oh my, guess what's going to eventually slip out of your mouth? Oh, I've not said that. But you've allowed yourself to be exposed to it, it registers up there. We're to see darkness for what it is. Children of light will not condone evil. When Paul talks about exposing works of darkness, it's not like being a whistleblower and letting the world know what evil is being committed. No, that's not what he means there. When we see darkness, we're supposed to see it for what it is and act accordingly. Maybe the situation requires you to speak up about the evil at that time. Maybe that is appropriate at that time. Or maybe you just need to remove yourself from the situation. Just walk away. Just walking away from evil can speak volumes about your character. It sets an example. And this is what children of light will do. We will recognize darkness, not let the darkness overcome us, because we will choose to have no part of that darkness. And then the last point, the last thing that we'll recognize, children of light, is children of light will have good works. Children of light will have good works. Instead of being associated with darkness, the actions of God's people will show they are living in the light. Let's go to Matthew 5, verses 14 and 16. Again, this is Christ speaking. Matthew 5, verses 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Our way of life should be obvious to those we interact with. It should be obvious to others that you and I are different than most people. There's something they like about us, even though they may have a hard time pinpointing what that is. But there's something they like. It's been said at these sites before that you are such nice people if it wasn't for your strange religion. They can't connect the dots. We're light. In the world today, anyone with morals will stand out. To those who don't believe in morality, you stand out as an enemy. To those who have morals, they see that good in you. But either way, we're going to stand out. We're supposed to be a light that stands out. The Bible talks about a time when darkness will be so prevalent that those who do good will be persecuted. Again, that was mentioned in Mr. Bennett's message. Again, darkness has power. But God wants us, as children of light, to stand out anyway, even if we're persecuted. Peter even said that the day is going to come, that people are going to remember the good works that you and I have done, and they will glorify God in their day of visitation. But God hasn't visited most people yet. But when he does, they will remember the light that you and I have been and thank God for it. Verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. As children of light, we should be a breath of fresh air to those we come in contact with. Should be a breath of fresh air. Living God's way of life should be more of an example that can be seen than heard. Just like a lamp quietly illuminates a room. The mission of the church is to preach the gospel of light. Christ commissioned the church to be a witness of God, of God's way of life, and to show them the light, just as God opened our minds and showed us the light. So both collectively and individually, we are to be lights in darkness. And how is our light best shown to others? Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Good works. That is what others should see from children of light. Now, we're not to be like the Pharisees and make sure our good works are recognized. Make sure CNN picks this up or someone's watching. No. We're to do them and not expect anything in return. We're to do good works because that is what we do. That is part of our character. There's a story, you may have heard this, of a man who opened the door for a woman. And she said, "Are you doing this because I'm a lady?" And he said, "No, I'm doing this because I'm a gentleman." Being good people is who we are. Our good works are not dependent on the actions of others or even who they are. To children of light, what is right, and we do the right thing. Because of our good works, others have accused God's church as trying to earn salvation by works. I'm sure you've heard that before. But that's not true. Our works are simply a reflection of God's light, a way of life we've willingly chose to follow and live by. Good works are simply a result of that lifestyle. We're not trying to earn anything. Yes, the world around us is growing darker every day. But God extended His mercy to you and to me so that we can come out of this darkness. As Paul tells us in Philippians 2:15, that as children of God, we are to shine as lights in a perverse and crooked generation we live in, reflecting God's character and way of life. Let's look at one last verse, Revelation chapter 22, verse 5. You know, it's interesting to see the contrast between the first chapters of Genesis and the last chapters of Revelation. Consider these seven night and day differences. Maybe you haven't noticed some of these before. Number one, seven of these. The Bible begins with the tree of life being cut off from mankind, but ends with the tree of life being made available to mankind. The Bible begins with mankind being expelled from paradise, but ends with his entrance into paradise. Number three, the Bible begins with the earth being desolate and in a ruined condition, but ends with the earth being a paradise and home of the glorious New Jerusalem. The Bible begins with mankind being separated from God, but ends with God dwelling with his glorified children forever. Number five, the Bible begins with the earth being cursed because of disobedience and sin, but ends with the curse being removed. Six, the Bible begins with the earth being covered in lifeless water, but ends with the water of life. And seven, the Bible begins with the earth being in darkness. And how does that end? Look at verse 5, Revelation 22, 5. There shall be no more night there, no more darkness. There shall be no more night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they, speaking of you and me, shall reign forever and ever. The Bible begins with darkness and ends with light. You and I have been called to be children of light. God has a plan to ultimately remove all darkness from His creation. He has begun that process by calling the first fruits to play an active role in that transformation. Today, we are children of light by obeying God's law, developing His holy, righteous character in us through the help of His Holy Spirit. Our examples and our good works reflect the light of God in us, and our refusal to let darkness overtake us shows God our commitment to Him. And at Christ's return, we will be changed to spirit, sharing God's glory, and will shine as the sun. And then, we will in the fullest sense be children of light.